Hello, hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Women of Vision show. How is everybody doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's kind of blue. Well, we're just jumping into this, but I'm your host, Maurice Brown, and
I'm Licia Prater, Maurice's co-host. So happy to be here.
And I am Sarah Chapin, her other co-host.
Yeah, we're all just winging this ever since Haley left us.
We're flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah. Well, it is a beautiful Tuesday here in the North State. I can feel fall coming a little bit, right?
Yes. We got teased with some blue skies a couple of days ago, and it just felt so lovely. And then the smoke rolled back in, but I'm feeling optimistic that we're going to be beyond this.
Yes. Let's keep it positive. And it is fall today, right?
Today's the first day.
Ooh. Officially, I pulled out all my pumpkins.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. And all the candles.
Yep.
And, oh, yeah. I pulled those out already September 1st. All my fall-scented candles came out.
But my best friends would not let me. I live with my two best friends, and they were like, no, not till it's cold. And then the one morning it was cold. They were like, okay.
Oh, so basically not till like November 17th, because that's when it gets cold.
Because that's when it gets cold.
That's when it gets cold.
I mean, for you being cool.
Let's be real. Right. We live in Reading. It is summer.
There's
forever.
No such thing as cold. I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that you girls are excited with fall, just like I am. Today we have a treat. We actually have a guest. Her name is Seek Smith. I met Seek. Let's see how this got started. I stalked her on Instagram.
I love it.
And just totally connected with her at some level. I don't know. Call it spiritual, the universe, but I just kind of kept digging through her and all the work she's done in the past, and we're not going to get into that right now, but we opened up Women of Vision Los Angeles, and I think the second meeting there...
When did you open Women of Vision Los Angeles?
I think it's been 2 years now.
2 years?
I can't even keep track.
Maybe
it's
a year. 2 years. 2 years, yeah.
But, awesome. Yeah, and so I invited her to one of the meetings, and she actually said yes, you know?
Yeah.
But you know how it is, sometimes people say yes, but then you don't believe them until
until they walk in the door.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, she was late, but she messaged me, said, I'll be there, I'm just running late. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's coming. I can't wait to meet this lady. So, super excited that she came, and just got to know her, and I've known her ever since. She's also come down for the photos campaign that she did with back then with Unleash campaign, excuse me. So excited. But, and she came down here with her partner, and they did the Women's Leadership Summit last year and did a photo campaign, and that
so cool.
went just, you know, got received by the community. And Seek is on the line right now. Before you go on, I just want to introduce you. She is a wife. She's been married for 20 years to her high school sweetheart, a proud mom of three, an anti-child sex trafficking activist, a social entrepreneur, founder, and chief visionary officer of Badass Do-Gooders. Her mission is to connect people all over the world and to do more good. And you guys... Totally. That's Seek to me. And I'm just so honored she's here. Seek, are you on? Can you hear us?
I am. I can hear you.
Ooh, hi.
Yay. Everybody.
Hi.
Yay,
hi. We should mention Seek is not in the studio with us tonight. She's actually calling in from Los Angeles. So thank you so much for calling in and taking time to talk to us tonight about this.
Oh, my God.
Very
I'm so honored that I have this opportunity to speak to you ladies and just share and have a conversation around some really important things.
Yeah.
Serious.
For sure.
Well, for those of you who doesn't stalk you like I do, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grow up and how you end up in L.A.?
I am a child of immigrants from Cambodia. I am a refugee from Cambodia. My dad actually escaped genocide in Cambodia in the late 1970s from the communist regime that took over the country then. And he has a very harrowing story. I really admire my dad. He really is an inspiration in my life. And he's just a wonderful dad. He is a wonderful dad. He's still around. And the one part of his story that I do want to share is that, you know, I don't, for those that aren't familiar with the genocide in Cambodia, it was a very extreme communist ideology where they split up families. They executed anyone with any intellectual, that were, you know, educated intellectuals, politicians, anybody of influence, artists, musicians, filmmakers, you name it. Wow. They were looking to restructure society in a very agrarian society. So going back to, you know, agriculture and being peasants, basically. My dad served in the army fighting against the Khmer Rouge. So that would have caused him to be targeted for execution just on that alone. But he was also a musician. He was a drummer. So I grew up with a lot of music in my background. So I'm a lover of all things creative. The musical talent skipped me, unfortunately, but my children are all very musically inclined. So that's amazing. I get serenaded by Spanish guitars in the morning. And, you know, so that's really, really great. But so that's kind of my upbringing in terms of my family's background. But my parents immigrated here in 1980. But unfortunately, my parents are not the success immigrant stories. They were very dependent on government assistance. My parents lived in very close niche quarters of the Cambodian community here in Los Angeles. So they didn't learn to speak English. I mean, 40 years later, my parents barely understand English and barely speak it. So I remember translating for them at 5 years old when they needed things done. I don't remember being helped for, you know, homework and things like that while I was going to school because I was the oldest of four siblings. And so that's like the dynamic of the family. And I grew up in the projects from the time I was in elementary school till I went off to college in a very rough and tough neighborhood in South L.A. During the height of the gang war in the 1990s. So it was a very challenging upbringing in that aspect.
Sure.
But I wouldn't have changed it. It really has shaped me to be the woman that I am today. So that's a little bit of my upbringing, my childhood.
Wow. I remember sitting down with you and you told me to go to school. You would ride the bus to go to the other side of the city. What was that why did you do that?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, I went to an elementary school that was smack in the middle of the housing project. So if you can imagine, the housing project had about 600 apartment units. So it's a really big complex. And there were about 100 Cambodian families that kind of took over that neighborhood in one shot. So it was on a racial issue, it felt like a takeover by outsiders to the people who had been growing up there and living there. Was a predominantly Black and Hispanic neighborhood. So here comes this really strange group of Asians from Southeast Asia who they have never heard of Cambodia before.
Mm-hmm.
Just all kind of rushing in and moving in. So there was this elementary school that I went to that was right in the middle of the neighborhood. Growing up, I always felt like an outsider. I always felt like I didn't belong. It was really hard to explain that. But for some reason, as a child, my siblings fit in just fine with the friends in the neighborhood and the group. I just felt very isolated.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, actually.
Yeah. And so I just kind of kept to myself. I like stayed in my home and did the things that I did. And my siblings would play with the kids in the neighborhood and I wouldn't. And that actually gave me a reputation of being snobby and conceited. And I didn't want to play with the other kids. It wasn't that. I just felt like I didn't belong.
I think I can relate to that. Yeah. We're coming up on our first commercial break, Seek. Sorry to interrupt, but I have like goosebumps just listening to her. Just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Thank you, Linda Lingo, financial coach. Linda inspires and guides women into clarity and confidence in their finances. Sarah Beck with Legal Shield. She offers affordable access to attorneys of the state as well as identity theft protection. Jesse Baldwin, certified health coach, free health coaching services. Call Jesse at 530-355-5921. Bargain Books and More, located at 836 Butte Street, open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6 p.m. She will do book trades as well. To Everbloom Skincare, 660A Azalea Avenue, results-driven facial, natural acne clinic, botanical-based, non-toxic skincare. Women of Vision Show will be right back here at KCNR. Seek, just hang on tight. We'll be back with you shortly.
Lots of questions. We'll be right back.
are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
The Backhoe and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backhoe and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backhoe and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hello, everyone. This is Licia. Welcome back to the Women of Vision show. We are talking tonight with Seek Smith. She is the founder of Badass Do-Gooders. Seek, we were learning a little bit about your childhood and kind of how you grew up. I would love to know more about that. I've got all these questions that I want to ask you about what you've been doing the last 11 years, but let's circle back to your experience growing up in South Central in the 90s. As you were saying, someone that, might have felt like you didn't quite fit in. I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling.
Yeah, so I want to answer Maria's question. When I was, then it was like sixth grade when you finish elementary school, when I was about 11, I decided I wasn't going to go to the same middle school or junior high that all the neighborhood kids were going to go to, which is right near our neighborhood. So I grabbed one of those forms and filled it out to be bused out to another school. There was no YouTube, no Googling, no nothing back then. So I picked a school called Holmes Middle School in Northridge, California, which is in the Valley, San Fernando Valley. Mostly because it had the same name as my elementary school. That was my logic. Like, I went to Holmes Elementary School, I'm going to go to Holmes Middle School. So I had no idea in terms of distance or how far it was. And I took the form to my mom and dad, who didn't speak a lick of English, and said, could you please sign this? And they signed it and trusted me with my decision at 11. Wow. And, yeah, I was bused out. I had to get to the bus stop at 5:50 every morning so I could take an hour and a half ride out into the valley to go to school every single day for middle school. So
11 years old.
I knew then that I was different because I would make these crazy decisions at a very early age.
Yeah, it sounds to me like as you're telling that story and having read a little bit about you, I'm kind of like, well, okay, it makes sense that you are who you are as an adult. I mean, it sounds like you were, you know, kind of a purpose and power even at a young age, you know, which is really incredible. And the fact that you just, I love that you just honed in on a name and went, yeah, okay, that works. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
So I would really like to get into what you are currently focusing on. And I know that there are many facets of your life that you are passionate about. But I think something that I would like to really talk about, because I think that I'm not alone in saying this. I think there are a lot of us that have, we think that we understand what human trafficking means and what sex trafficking means. And I think that we think that we can speak to it, but I will admit that I don't feel comfortable speaking to it because I don't think I really understand the depths of it. Mm-hmm. And so kind of, you know, again, going over your bio, I have so many questions. So I would love to start with the basic, most fundamental definition of human trafficking. What is it? What are people being used for? I mean, I have so many questions, but let's just start with that. If you can just kind of define what human trafficking means.
Well, the textbook definition of human trafficking, and I'm just going to read it, you know, because this is the textbook definition.
Sure.
It's basically the action or practice of illegally transporting people from one country or region to another area, typically for the purposes of forced labor or sexual exploitation.
Yeah.
That is the textbook definition.
Yeah.
But in the way we understand it's and also known as modern day slavery.
Yes.
And one of the most interesting facts that I will throw out there are more slaves today than in any other time in history.
That's mind boggling, really, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that just blow your mind?
Mm-hmm. It really blows. I mean, it should. I mean, yeah. You know, I think in an age where, you know, people are really passionate about certain issues, you know, the fact that we know this, I'm personally shocked in the 11 years that I have been involved in this this particular issue, that the outrage isn't as big as I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there are people who don't have their freedom. I mean, think about the fact that we can all just walk out of our front door, go get a coffee, you know, go do this, and that there are people who are in bondage and who don't have their freedom.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think there isn't more of an outcry and more of an outrage? Do you think it's just because there hasn't been enough attention placed upon the severity of human trafficking, especially domestically? I mean, I'm just wondering because
yes.
I feel like I follow the news. I have the news on. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it's as prevalent as so many other things that do make, you know, mainstream media. So where do you think that
you
gap
nailed it.
Is?
You nailed it. It's definitely not something that's spoken about in the mainstream in how most of Americans consume their news.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we have a lot more access to information now. We have smartphones in our hands. We have laptops. We have tablets. We have everything. You know, we're in closer communication with people from in our neighborhoods around the world and you know, building mm-hmm. relationships online. But yes, you nailed it.
There's a gap in awareness. Yeah. So what do you think that is? I mean,
I think there's a couple of reasons. One, which I get all the time, this is heavy stuff. I don't like people literally turn away from the issue. And I've had people say to me they don't want to talk about this because it's really heavy and dark stuff. And mm-hmm. that's the stuff you know about. Like I go down the rabbit hole, the dark rabbit hole, and there are things that I have trouble sharing about what actually happens when it comes to child sex trafficking and human trafficking in general. So that's one thing. It's that it's a very tough issue to discuss, and it's not something that you can just strike up a conversation at a family dinner.
Right,
it's
exactly. Just, you know, not exactly dinner table talk or coffee table talk.
No.
What do you think that you have learned in the 11 years that you've kind of immersed yourself in this? What do you think has shocked you the most? What do you think that you've discovered that's really kind of made you go, okay, wow, that's...
Well, definitely the growth of this criminal enterprise. When I started in 2009 when I got involved, and I'll just kind of very quickly explain how I even got involved. I was listening to a radio, to the radio driving home, and there was this horrific case out of Trenton, New Jersey, of that was going through the courts and going through prosecution of a 9-year-old girl who was sold by her 15-year-old stepsister for $100 to 7 men. And that's, I'll go as far as that is concerned. Yeah. I won't go into any more details. But the details of the case were so horrific as I was listening to the case unfold, and those 7 men were convicted. I just bawled out of control. I was driving home. I was crying uncontrollably. I walked into my kitchen, and my husband's sitting at the dining table, and, of course, I'm crying, and he's freaking out. And I had to calm myself and explain to him, I'm okay. And that moment, I said, I can't unhear this and I can't unfeel this. I need to do something. So I started my research of figuring out who's at the forefront of this fight, found a lady in Cambodia who was rescuing young girls from brothels and from trafficking, started volunteering and said, hey, I'm an event planner. PR marketing is my background. How can I help? And that was my relationship with this foundation in New York City. And I started doing fundraisers and bringing awareness and all sorts of stuff. But the one thing that really shocked me is when I started in 2009, it was a $32 billion criminal enterprise. Today in 2020, that has grown to over $150 billion. And $99 billion of that comes from commercial sexual exploitation.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we're not chipping away at this problem.
No.
It has gotten
progressively worse. Sounds like we're going backwards.
And I'm not going to say names, but I have a bunch of siblings. One of them was trafficked, which is part of the reason I also got into this, and I don't really talk about that much. But I feel like a lot of things, because like something you didn't touch on, you might be touching on it later, but a lot of it is like denial, especially in American culture. They think of human trafficking as like this third world country thing.
Yes.
Stuff like that. I'm like, no, it's literally like family members selling people.
I think
stuff like
right.
that.
I think we have sort of an abstract concept of it, and that it's someone else's problem, that it's
some
not
far
exactly.
away land.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially to like, I grew up very conservative from Texas and all that, and they don't believe like, oh, this could be happening in my church. This isn't believe.
Yeah.
They're not willing to accept that as fact. So.
In the United States, there's a couple of things that we need to be aware of. We are the biggest consumers of sexual exploitation material, specifically child pornography, of any other country in the world. So so on the consumer end, we're perpetuating the problem. And I say we, obviously not us here, but we as a society in America. When you talk about hit close to home, I'm not able to share the details yet, but I just found out about a month ago, it was revealed to me that someone very close in my family was trafficked, and she had not told anybody and revealed it to me for the first time. So it is very close to home for a lot of people. And even for me, who have been involved with this issue, I had no idea. I was not prepared to hear that. So when we think about it happening in other countries, it literally is happening in our backyard. A lot of it.
We're going in our second commercial break right now.
It's hard when you can't see your face.
Hold your thoughts.
I know. But yes, we will totally get back to that, and
I
really appreciate
have a
your conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
Sponsor Unicorn here. We're going to discuss our next round of sponsors. We have Michelle Lane with Michelle Lane Coaching. Michelle is a transformational facilitator of Elevate workshops and retreats for women and a results-driven life coach helping you get to the root of what's holding you back from the life you desire the most. We have Ash and Jazz, amazing little firebirds. They have Lit From Within. It is 2449 Athens Avenue. They have a bunch of different services from organic spray tanning to kids yoga. We have Bev Gray with Zervita. She offers the most delicious and nutritious drink called Zeal. Not only is it nutritious, but it gives you energy, vibrancy, and boosts your immune system. And then we also got Felicia Chodorochi of All Fired Up. She is 1796 Churin Creek Road.
And we'll be right back here, Women of Vision at KCNR.
Turtle Bay has two new exhibits opening on Saturday, September 26th. Expedition Earth and Bench Press, Please Be Seated, Please. From interactive exploration around our world to awe-inspiring craftsmanship, these two exhibits have something to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale is coming up on Saturday, October 3rd. Members and non-members will enjoy discounts on regular nursery prices. Don't miss this chance to stay big on plants during this key season for planting perennials. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Women of Vision at KCNR 96.5 FM. We are having a conversation today with Zeke Smith. And we were wrapping up what we were talking about earlier, and I have a question for you since we were talking about, like, how it's sex trafficking, human trafficking is, like, in our backyards. What are practical ways an average community member can help?
There's several ways. I mean, there's some wonderful organizations out there doing amazing work, and I'll just list a couple of them. I mean, there's Operation Underground Railroad out of Utah with Tim Ballard. Check them out. They do a lot of rescue work, and they have a network of rehabilitation centers that help rebuild the lives of survivors of trafficking. I personally am connected to an organization called Together One Heart, which is out of Cambodia. They do most of the work there. To date, Together One Heart has rescued over 8,000 children. I would start with, and even for your local, there's usually local organizations that's doing the work as well. So start there. Any way you can volunteer, if you can donate, or just dive into learning more about the issue and understanding it better so that you can find the best ways for you to help based on, you know, based on the needs of your community and based on what you think you can offer. So I would start there, but there are definitely resources out there for you to look into.
Some other questions that I've been sort of mulling around that we've all been kind of talking about is, and Sarah just sort of touched on it a bit too, but how, as an average person, can we be more attuned to what's happening in our community and really, you know, all over? And how can we maybe be better in identifying someone who is in need, someone who could potentially be a victim of trafficking? And then I'd also love to know about the average age group that you have found to be more oftenly or more often victimized. So if you could touch base on, if you could touch on that, that would be great.
Yeah. I'll start with the average age. So the average age is 12 to 14 that gets lured into trafficking. The most vulnerable population of trafficking is foster care youth, runaway teens. Those are the two most targeted because they're just really vulnerable population. And then there's also familial trafficking, which unfortunately I'm starting to know more about, is when families are selling their children or selling their niece or nephew. That's a whole nother dark side of this that I'm just now starting to see and understand a little bit more. As far as identifying, there are hot spots, right, for trafficking. There are truck stops, airports, places where people are being transported is usually the biggest hot spot. And to identify, a lot of times victims who are being, you know, held against their will won't make eye contact with you. They're usually kind of disheveled. You know, maybe they look they look emancipated, or they look like they're just, you know,
unwell, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not well kept. And a lot of times, you know, especially, I mean, I hear stories of people being trafficked, like on a flight. They're sitting next to a guy, and they won't look up. They won't look up the flight attendant. So things like that is something to look out for. I wouldn't interfere. I mean, the advice that a lot of advocacy groups give out is to not interfere and try and rescue the person yourself. It's to call authorities, obviously. And there's a national hotline for human trafficking. It's 888-373-7888. To call authorities or call the police right away if you have any suspicion. And I know a lot of times we're in society is kind of accustomed us to not interfering or not butting into people's business, but this could be life or death for somebody, and you could be doing something really, really life changing and really important to rescue somebody just by making a phone call.
Go ahead, Murray. Sorry. Yeah, my brain is still just processing.
I know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm still in the shock that most people don't. Well, I mean, the whole like 30 billion, and now it's 152 or whatever. I forget the number.
Yeah, the fact that it's grown exponentially versus.
And I'll explain why very quickly.
Yes,
because
please.
You think about the different criminal enterprises, drugs, you know, running guns or selling drugs. You have to purchase those items, and you have to invest, and then you sell it, right, for a profit. When it comes to human beings, there is 100% profit, and you really don't have to put any money. You can literally snatch a kid off the street, and I hate to sound that blunt because that's actually what's happening.
Maybe
not on the scale that, you know, but you could sell that person over and over again. I mean, I have a friend who was trafficked, and in one day she had to service 42 clients. So you think about it in that sense, you can see why it's such a profitable criminal enterprise.
So do you, what would, in terms of a percentage, what would you equate the percentage of people who, or children, I suppose, that are being kidnapped by strangers versus being,
That's a very small number. I don't, because of the nature of this crime, they're really, the numbers aren't as accurate as one would hope. So I personally don't know, and I don't think there's any stats out there that can provide that, not by the FBI or anybody, as being kidnapped off the street by a stranger versus like being sold by family members or being sold by a friend at school. I mean, there's stories of like people being trafficked while they're still living at home. because they've been threatened by their trafficker that they would, their family would be killed.
Mm-hmm.
They could be trafficked by a boyfriend, someone who's gotten close to them enough to be a boyfriend, but, you know, and these traffickers will take time to build the trust and build the relationship. And I've heard stories of boyfriends trafficking their girlfriends a year later from the time that they met them, you know. So it's those statistics are hard to come by.
I mean, Seek, how do you, like, you know, it's been many years for you being involved in this work. How do you, I don't know, keep it together? I get so emotional. Like you said, I think a lot of people don't get involved, or they just kind of turn a blind eye because it's just a little too much. It's heavy. You know, how do you keep that balance in your life? I know you have your family and being a wife and a mom.
It's definitely a balance. I mean, I'm so passionate about this issue that I've learned to compartmentalize. Interestingly enough, I've learned to really be in the mode of gratitude, obsessively being grateful for my life and what I have, because I contrast it with, you know, children and women and men who are being enslaved right now. I struggle with it too because my husband, who is an empath, I mean, I'm an empath, but he's like on a whole nother level. I like,
that's a whole other layer.
He gets really emotional over issues like this of protecting. He's very much a protector of women and children. So I have to be careful even sharing the stuff because I keep up with this news 24/7, like almost too much of it, like to the point where my husband's like, okay, honey, you have to take a break. Like, you, like no pedophile talk this morning. You know, like,
No pedophile talk over coffee. Just give me one day.
He's like, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's a little too early for pedophile talk, you know.
I mean, and, we shouldn't be laughing, but oh my goodness,
No, it's funny because it's hard for him, and I have to be mindful of, like, his state of mind when it comes to this issue, and he is just as passionate about it, but on a different level. And so I do have to tread that carefully so that there is some peace of mind in our family dynamic, and, you know, and how I talk about it around my 10-year-old daughter, I have to be really careful. So for those reasons, it really is trying to balance between my passion for it and then, you know, being respectful of the people around me.
Sure. And you guys, so Seek is, she is involved in, you know, the whole, this, for solving human trafficking, but she has other projects at play too that's just amazing, and I'd love to get onto that our next after this commercial break. And but yeah, this has been, I'm like, it's really heavy, dude. I might need a drink after this.
I really want to meet you in person and have a conversation.
I mean, there are still so many questions floating through my head right now. It's a lot.
Anyway.
Meditation. Just find ways. I try to clear all of this before I go to bed. I really, really do.
Tell us your tricks later.
I
would like to know
when we come back.
So we have our last, this is our last commercial break. And I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Ladies, thank you so much for continually supporting us. I know this year has not been, you know, a cookie cutter year. It's been very unique, and we've all seen our challenges and struggles, but I really do appreciate your continued support. And most of them are, yes, they are women owned, and they are local here to Reading, and they're all open, fully operational. To Dana Grant, Master Intuitive Life Coach. She has a Clarity Mastermind that is starting in October, and I believe she is our guest on October 6th as well. And to Max Mallari with World Financial Group, Life and Health Insurance Agent. Again, just they are big supporters of our show, so thank you so much. And to Ali Veers, Bohem Salon and Spa, 961 Dana Drive, Suite 130. Reliefs Trading, there's plant-based medicine that works naturally and affordably, well known for their signature deep freeze pain relief. And to our, you know, last but not least, our resident unicorn, Sarah Marie Spectrum. Unleash your dreams, own your imagination, sarahmariespectrum.com. Do you have any upcoming projects?
So right now I'm waiting for that smoke to clear.
I'm like, all my projects. Your photo shoots?
I like natural light more than I like shooting indoors. It's not really my, like, I can, but I don't like it. So I'm like, I'm waiting for the smoke. It's gone. But we will be doing Halloween stuff, but not just yet, but we will.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Well, this is Women of Vision show at KCNR, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique abilities. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. ICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. ICAP does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. ICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call ICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-401-00 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
And we are back here live at KCNR Women of Vision show. We've been chatting with Seek Smith, founder of Badass Do Gooder, and love warrior for human trafficking. Seek, so honored for you to be here with us. And you literally blew my mind. I'm sad that like already almost over.
I know. We need it to be continued.
It's such a pleasure talking to you, ladies.
Yeah, thank you for opening up our minds. And you had mentioned before we left for commercial about like how you balance your life, and you said that you get into meditation, and and that's right. It brought me back up to your work with Love Storm, and I'm like, oh man, completely forgot about to mention that. Can you let the audience know what that's about, and how you affect the community with that?
Yeah, so my really good friend, who's an actress, Annalyn McCord, is also president of Together One Heart, the organization that I'm closely tied to for trafficking. She and I came together last summer and came up, then this was her idea and I helped execute it. But it's basically a mass meditation campaign around child sex trafficking and human trafficking called the Love Storm. excuse me. She came up with the idea because meditation has really helped her in her journey of healing, and she wanted to be able to share that. And the idea is that you can end slavery from the inside out. It starts with you. It starts with you in your unshackling mental slavery. A lot of us have very limiting beliefs because of our upbringing or our childhood trauma or things that we experience. And kind of wading through that, you know, through meditation and using meditation as a form to free yourself, right? And meditation has helped me a lot. I don't meditate as much as she does. I mean, Annalyn can meditate like 2-3 hours a day, and it's really helped her to ground herself and center herself. But the love storm came up because of it. It's a thing, it's a storm that's brewing inside of people who are being enslaved, right? It's a very visceral, angry, you know, upsetting thing to have happened to somebody. But if we can channel that energy into a storm of love and bringing that energy out into the world, that is really the concept behind it. And so we originally launched January 11th in Los Angeles, the Love Storm Tour, which was going to 20 cities around the world. And we were having meditation activities in these, and we were organizing local organizations that was doing the work to end trafficking. And then we did one in March in New York City. Literally right before the shutdown. I flew back home the day before the shutdown. And, of course, with COVID and everything happening, we put a pause on that. And so we're restructuring, relaunching the Love as an online meditation tour. And so we would love for Reading to host one for us. And you can go to www.thelovestorm.com to get information as we relaunch this project.
That sounds like a great idea. And throughout the day, throughout the hour, we've been saying you're a founder of Badass Do Gooder. And
I love that name. I just love that.
First of all, literally, I love those bad words so much.
I love it.
Can you expand on that? And what are you up to there, my friend?
Yeah. So just a little background. As I was doing the Unleash photo shoot, I was coming across, done the photo shoot for over 300 people around the country. And we've also done the campaign in Brazil and Paris and Canada. But what I was finding is that people were coming to our campaign who had gone through some traumatic experiences, you know, mainly sexual abuse, some even trafficked, childhood abuse, verbal abuse, domestic, I mean, you name it, it runs the gamut. But these were people who were either starting their healing journey, in the middle of their healing journey, or have actually come out on the other side. And what I noticed for those that have done a lot of work to heal themselves, they are some of the most amazing human beings I have ever come across who are so purpose-driven. Despite having gone through the difficulties and the adversities that they've gone through, they have channeled and turned their pain into purpose.
That was our guest last week. Sorry, I don't mean to.
Okay.
I actually want to speak to what you're saying because I feel like that was our guest. That was Allie last week talking about her involvement with domestic violence and her involvement with One Safe Place. And it was born from a place of having experienced it as a child. So to just to kind of further make your point, you are so right. That often does happen where people have experienced something and feel like it's now they've come out of it. And
they
now,
become the light.
Yeah, and that's now become like their life's passion to help other people see through it. So,
and that helps their healing process.
Yes.
So what happens is, people who have gone through these really horrific experiences, turning that dark and shedding light on the issue, but becoming light for others is that actually helps them heal and continue their healing process.
Right.
And I'm speaking of this from people in my life that I have been so fortunate to become my friends, and they're, you know, basically badass do-gooders. And that's what that means, is basically you're living a life of doing good and service to others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was coming across so many people like that. And I knew, I kept telling myself, there's no accident. Like, I'm meeting all these people for a reason. And it was literally one of those accident moments where I kind of vomit the word badass do-gooders. And my friend Cassie, who is the muse for badass do-gooders, looks at me. She goes, I love that. I'm like, oh, I'm sure I heard it from somewhere. I didn't come up with it. And I was just kind of doubting myself. And I just kind of sat on it for 2 months. It was just like, and then one morning I literally woke up with this download of information at 6 a.m. and I was like, I better do something with this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the journey of Badass Do-Gooder started. But very quickly, we're getting ready to launch with 125 founding members. And yes, I'm very proud to say that I know 125 people doing really good for the world.
That's awesome. And
that's the makeup of our members is we're launching with them. They come from the background of social entrepreneurship. They're also nonprofit founders or they're, you know, vice president of nonprofits. And the other portion of our members are creators. They're photographers, they're filmmakers, they're designers, they're musicians and actresses and so on and so forth. So the idea is that this collective group is going to come together to amplify their voices to and their stories to do more good. And we're building it on a platform of a festival because I want to celebrate doing good. So there will be an art, a film, and a music festival sometime next year when all this COVID stuff is over. So maybe fall or something of next year, ending with an award show. We want to award our members for doing good throughout the year. Mm. And so we'll have like an Oscars for Badass Do-Gooders.
Oh, fun. That's awesome. Yeah.
I love that. So how does one get involved with that organization?
So we're launching October 20th, and so we're working on the website now. That will be up in a couple of weeks to get more information. It's a member-based community, and it is done through nomination process. So a lot of times it's going to be people who are within the community already nominated, but we will open applications to the public at least twice a year. And that way, you know, because we don't know everybody that's doing good, obviously. And mm-hmm. so we'd love for people to also apply and become a member. But really, the requirement is that you live a life of doing good. And that's really it. That's all it takes.
Mm. That's so cool.
Seems simple enough, right? I mean,
Yeah.
So what do you think the website is going
to
be?
More. Well, I'm sorry?
What do you think the website is going to be? Is it... Badass Do-Gooder.com?
It's badassdogooders.com. I'm looking to grab BADG. Bad G is the acronym for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually taken right now. And the crazy story is Badass Do-Gooders was taken. And one day I sat there and I said, what if this person forgot to renew their URL or they forgot to pay their fee?
Yeah.
And literally, as soon as I said that and I checked it, it became available.
Oh.
And so I grabbed it. It wasn't mine at first. It was like taken already. So I'm hoping the acronym Bad G is available so that it makes it a lot easier to type in the URL.
Yeah.
But for now it's Badass Do-Gooders.
Nice. Well, we have less than 2 minutes. What's your next project? Any other promotions coming up in your side of town?
It's super crazy because Badass Do-Gooders is going to be built out not only as a membership community, but it's also going to be a production company to help amplify stories of our members. So I'm actually going to be producing films and documentaries around our members' story. I'm working on 2 film projects right now, 2 documentaries of 2 of our members, one who was trafficked, my friend Amber, and then my friend Desi, who has a crazy story of childhood sexual abuse by her stepfather. So that's 2 big projects that I'm working on, obviously the festival and everything else going on. We just had our first retreat. We're planning another retreat next spring. So lots of fun and cool stuff and different ways to get involved. More to come for sure.
Well, Seek, where can our listeners find you? Your Instagram, Facebook page?
Yeah, Instagram is at Seek, SEAK _Smith. And then at Badass Do-Gooders for our Instagram. Same thing with Facebook. It's Seek Smith. And then it's Badass Do-Gooders as well.
Yeah, let us know how we can support you. You are so amazing. You have a lot of, you are a purposely driven woman. She's busy, you guys, doing a lot of great things in the world. And if you follow her on Instagram, there will be more information there regarding human trafficking and how to get involved and how to help with that. So, Seek, it's been an honor. Thank you so much for giving us an hour
of
your time.
Meeting you, even though it was
thank
in the
you,
format.
My pleasure.
Very
really
nice virtually meeting you.
Yeah. And I
I
hope to...
We will definitely meet in person.
Yeah, I hope
I
to
will
see
make
you in
sure
Reading.
That. Yes, absolutely.
Try to get you out here. That's my thing, just luring people here. Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope everybody enjoyed that show, and we'll return next week, same time,
next
same channel.
Tuesday.
We are
Bye.
Women of Vision.
Bye, everyone.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.